So I think the hope will be we'll meet until the 21st. And I don't know that that's completely all cleared up here, but if we aren't here, we'll just be somewhere else. So the plan will be we meet till the 21st before Christmas, and the plan will also be that we'll probably be here. So we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. The last day of our study, the 21st, we'll kind of put everything together. But I'm going to go ahead and jump into what we started a couple of weeks ago at Bubba's, which is on forgiveness. And so I think we saw a big picture, and I'll give a little bit of review of forgiveness from the standpoint of what we've received. I think where the tough part is the kind of forgiveness that we're giving. I think if we're not going to wrestle that out in our lives, then, you know, there's just not going to be any growth. You cannot grow spiritually and live with an unforgiving heart towards other people. I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen. You may think it's happening, but it's not. So think of it this way. In the Lord's Prayer, I've told you how, we've talked about how some people, we get to chapter 6, verse 12 of Matthew, says, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Some translations would say, "Forgive us our debts just as we have forgiven our debtors." I mean, anybody in their right mind, if you're praying the Lord's Prayer, you should do a double take when you get to that part of the prayer. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me just like I'm forgiving other people. You should do a double take. And at the same time, you could be thankful that God's gone far beyond that. But now, some would translate that word trespasses. So let me just keep reading. You can see why that happened. In Matthew 6, 12 through 15, and let me just say this. You understand the difference between a debt and a trespass, right? A debt is something that you owe another person, and you're forgiven of it. It's kind of a banking term. We got some bankers in here. We got one, Buzz, who's going to be retiring soon, so you need to pat him on the back because he's worked hard for a long time. He's about to enjoy the fruit of his labor. But you don't think of a debt when you walk on somebody else's property and there's a no trespassing sign, do you? It's a totally different mentality when you think of crossing the line like that. You were stepping into somebody else's business. So some people translate this debts. Most would translate it debts. Actually, William Tyndale's the one that translated it trespasses. And I'll tell you, and he was a Bible translator who was killed for being a Bible translator. If you can take that in. But listen, and I'll tell you why he did it. It says, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." That's Matthew 6, 12. "Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you." The first word in 6:12 would easily be translated debts. When you get down to verse 14, when it says, "when they sin against you," that's trespass. So there's two words used within four verses of each other, one being debt and one being trespass. And if you look at our own lives, one of them probably offends you more than another when someone does it to you. When somebody gets into your business, it probably bothers you a little bit. "Stay out of my business." It's a trespass. Debt, if somebody owes you or you owe somebody else, it doesn't really matter. Both are being called for here. So it's almost more appropriate whenever you're quoting the Lord's Prayer corporately and half the people say trespass and half the people say debt, I think you got it right at that point. Because it's both, okay? Now, we looked a couple of weeks ago that God has forgiven us. And he's actually forgiven us unconditionally, okay? And I want you to help you take in what it means to be forgiven unconditionally. We've looked at this before, but one way to do that is you can go back and study it for yourself. Study Leviticus chapter 16. That's on Yom Kippur. That's on the Day of Atonement. And that's the day that I've spoken about this before. You got the two goats. You got the propitiation goat and the expiation goat. Or one would be the goat that comes under God's wrath and the scapegoat. Those are the two goats in Leviticus chapter 16. The first goat is one that is slaughtered for the iniquities of the people. That goat was not dying for its sin. It was dying for the people's sin. That's what Christ did. But the scapegoat, the secondary goat, they confess the sins of the people and they send it out in the wilderness of sin. The picture there was not only were your sins atoned for, but they were carried away from the presence of the Father, never to be seen again. A scapegoat was never to be encountered again, never to be seen again. That's what forgiveness is. It's not only the payment has been made, but it's not going to be brought up again. That's how you know if you've forgiven another person. If you keep bringing it back up, you haven't forgiven them yet. It's pretty simple. I hope you can let that sit on you, because every one of you is living with unforgiveness right now. And don't be hypocritical about it. Confess it and deal with it. Because there are things that I bet you deal with like me that I work through forgiveness and then it comes back to my mind again. And all of a sudden I'm sitting on it again. Like, Lord, I don't want to deal with this. And that's the human side of forgiveness. So that's what Christ has done. Not only has he paid for your sin, but he's carried it away from the presence of the Father as far as east is from the west. So that's why it says in Jeremiah chapter 31, in the new covenant in the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus, he will remember your sin no more. Now, to help you understand what that means to a next layer, if you're a Christian, if you have trusted in Jesus for your salvation, when you stand before the Trinity on Judgment Day, there is no charge that can be brought against you. Just sit on that for a second. A lot of people don't believe that or understand that. It's because they haven't studied Yom Kippur. They haven't studied the scapegoat. They may have studied the first goat. They hadn't studied the second goat. Years ago, I was on a missions trip in Nicaragua with my daughter and my wife, and I was tapped on the shoulder maybe a day before to speak at the Sunday service the next day when all the kids would gather at the local church that we were coming along beside, and it was kind of a big group of people, and so I really had to just scramble to think, what am I going to do? And it's weird because I think I've preached like 5 to 10, I mean, between 7 and 10,000 times. You would think, because I've been teaching 5-6 times a week for the past 25 years, and you would think that I would have figured it out. I couldn't figure out what to do. I was like, Melissa, I don't understand. I have nothing to say. And she's like, wow, that's the first, you know, in a myriad of ways. And so I just decided I'm supposed to, I believe the Spirit was leading me to teach Leviticus chapter 16, the two unfortunate goats, the propitiation goat and the expiation goat. And I did. And I'm telling you, my translator was... he had a mess on his hands because, you know, first of all, they eat goats over there, first of all. He's like, man, this is going to be difficult. How am I going to? And it was a tough. I was watching him struggle. I was going, I don't even know if he's getting it right, you know. And I felt the whole week, I was like, if there was ever anything I've taught before that probably couldn't have been grasped by people that don't even speak my language, I think I might have picked the perfect sermon. And I felt like that all week long. It's like, why did I do this? I mean, I could have done John 3:16. There's so many things I could have done. I didn't. The last night, we were kind of finished the week. We had done everything that had been designed for us to do. And I'm sitting at a table. They were having dessert of some sort, kind of a Nicaraguan thing. It wasn't something that I was enjoying a whole lot. It's like a plantain thing. And the pastor of the church came up and he sat beside me. And he could speak English. And he said, until this past Sunday, I've never understood the second goat. And he said, and that will change the way I preach for the rest of my life. He said, I have not talked of a God who has not only forgiven our sin, but forgotten our sin. I continue to bring people's stuff back up. And he goes, and I just want to thank you. And Melissa was sitting beside me. She said, now you know why you preach that sermon? What would you rather do, have a one-time shot or have something take place that's going to affect the way these people are ministered to until that pastor leaves? This is a big deal. It's a big deal for you as a believer to understand that God is not holding anything against you as a believer because it was atoned for 2,000 years ago. It was paid for then. And for us to think it's being thought of now is not to understand the completeness of what Christ has done. Now, on the judgment day, will there be kind of some wood, hay, and stubble, the worthwhile things and the worthless things? Yes. But it's not a separation thing. It will be a day of great accountability as we stand before holy God and look back in our rearview mirror and go, man, I did not understand the grandness of what I had been brought into, and I spent a whole lot of time wasting it. God's going to let us feel the weight, but the burden has been purchased, paid for, and obliterated. Okay, you can celebrate that. Now, the first thing you need to learn to do is you need to learn to celebrate that. And be thankful for that. And understand that God is not thinking on your yesterday's sin. Because that was dealt with 2,000 years. Think of that in your own heart. 2,000 years ago this was dealt with. God's not living by a clock. Yeah, but you only embraced it 2 months ago. 2,000 years ago it was dealt with. Okay? But there are verses in the scripture that tell us that we have been called to forgive other people like that. Ephesians 4:32. Forgive just as you have been forgiven. Oh, it's real easy to talk about what God has done as opposed to going, now what am I supposed to do? Forgiveness is that hallmark of our faith. Right? So, things to begin to think about. The first thing, and we can discuss some of this in a minute. A good book that I've recommended before, if this is something that you want to learn to work through, is a book called Unoffendable. Unoffendable. One word. The guy that wrote the book's a DJ. He said one time he heard somebody talk about how Christians, if they truly understand what Christ has done, should be unoffendable. And he said, I was very offended that he would say that. And he said, and I began to study the Bible, and I began to discover that he's right. And he wrote a book on it. What's great about the book Unoffendable is it's not written by a theologian. It's written by just this regular guy that is working through something. A funny thing about that book is the person that recommended it to me also recommended it to another one of my friends. And not only did they recommend it to one of my friends, but she and her husband sent it to one of my friends. And when he received it in the mail, guess what? He was extremely offended. Why do you think I need to read this? She said, that's why. That's why. And he read through the book and he said he had a lot to work through. He said he had to read through it the second time before he really began to deal with it. Because here's the thing. When people trespass us, when people cross us, sometimes it can be at significant levels. I have people very close to me that were transgressed at significant levels. I'm talking heavy, burdened levels. I can never forget this levels. We are not God. We can't forget things. We can forgive things, but not forget things. Christ can both forgive and forget because of what Christ has done. God can do that. So this is a struggle for us. Forgiveness is a huge struggle. It's a significant struggle. But we as believers need to always be making every effort, as far as it depends upon us, to be at peace with everybody. You are to make every effort, as far as it depends upon you. Now, the reason that's important as far as it depends upon you is I may make a great effort to get right with another person and they may not want to receive it because of what I said or did to them or the way that I offended them. That's not my problem anymore if I've made the effort. Now, God may put it on my heart to make it again. The first time didn't break through. But here, let me tell you where I think we get caught up. And this is where if you are bold enough and daring enough to read Unoffendable. Another thing about that book, I have a good friend in Greenville, and he was asking me, it's about 4 years ago, he was asking me, he goes, man, I'm taking all of my kids on a vacation. They were going to some, you know, exotic beach somewhere in the Caribbean, and they had rented this great place to stay in. And one of the rooms was this hot tub that would hold like 16 people. And he said, I've envisioned that we're going to do some sort of a book study together as a family in that hot tub 30 minutes a night after a day on the beach. He said, what should we do? I said, you should get unoffendable. And every night, he and his family would send me a picture of them all sitting in the hot tub with their books up. He said it was revolutionary because they all began to work through stuff, you know, realizing it is my responsibility to work through this stuff. Here's where I think the problem comes, is I think that for some reason we have bought in, even in the church, that we have a right to some sort of a justifiable anger. Anger. Because anger is what is a roadblock to forgiveness. You know what we call it? What do we call that kind of anger? Oh, it's righteous anger. It's a righteous anger. Y'all just said it. That's exactly what we call it. We call it a righteous anger. Have any of you ever used that word? Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. First of all, without even going deep into the conversation, whether you are dealing with a wrong anger or what you might justify as a righteous anger, are you allowed for the sun to go down on it? No. Righteous anger, justifiable anger, will eat you alive. It can be at a political party, and you say, I have a right to be angry. There's a difference between you and God. He has a right to be angry, you don't. He has a right to be jealous, you don't. Right? If you're sleeping on something that you're justifying, I don't care how worthy you may think it is, it will eat you alive. It will tear into your heart, it will tear into your soul, and it will begin to burden you, and it will begin to affect you, and it will not only impact you, but it will impact other people. The verse that we get that from, I'm going to read these verses because it's so interesting to me that, you know, we are, and I do this, by the way, and I've done this. I used to justify anger. We pick portions of Scripture that have a significant verse or something without reading the whole thing, okay? Here's where we do it. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Well, I ain't sinning. I haven't killed anybody, right? Then the next verse. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Anger is never, ever treated kindly in the Bible. Here's the next verse. Don't give the devil a foothold. What happens when we sleep on our anger? The devil steps in. Even to Christians. He doesn't get inside, but he has a way of getting all over you. It's happening. It keeps on going. Go a couple of verses down. What does it say? Get rid of bitterness, rage, same word, and anger. So he says, you can be angry, but don't sin. But if you're going to do it, you better deal with it before the sun goes down. And sometimes it's interesting to me, and I think this can be a good thing. I think most, if not all, successful marriages at some level understand this. At some level. Not maybe completely, but most people only apply that to marriage. You hear it kind of as a marriage verse because you're about to get into marriage in Ephesians anyway, if you just hang in there for a couple, you know, chapter and a half or whatever. But it's actually true. It's not just get right with your spouse. And listen, if you've been married, I've been married for 32 years. It is very beneficial to get right with her before we go to sleep because the next day is also important, you know? And we've learned, that's one thing that together we've learned. We're not perfect at it, but it is rare. It is rare that we're not before each other getting right. Don't let this, don't wake up in the morning still stewing, right? Don't do it. Get rid of all bitterness, get rid of all rage, get rid of all anger and slander along with every form of malice. The reason I'm bringing up this anger is unforgiveness and anger are kissing cousins. The thing that keeps us from living in forgiveness is that sensation and feeling of anger towards the other person. So if you don't deal with your anger, you will not live in forgiveness towards other people. So we go back to the Lord's Prayer and we say, forgive us just as we have forgiven. You know, I would promote that, you know, if you're not really walking that road, have a moment of silence when the Lord's Prayer is being quoted at that point. Lord, I'm dealing with some stuff. Now, let me say one thing. Christ, fortunately, because of what Jesus has done, remember the Lord's Prayer was given before Jesus died and was raised. Your forgiveness has now been purchased. So what you're really praying in the Lord's Prayer is, Father, teach me to forgive other people just like you've forgiven me. Because you're forgiven. So any feedback on this? This is in our lives, we need to be no longer attached to anyone with anger, hostility, bitterness. Doesn't mean we're not wrestling with it. Doesn't mean we're not warring over it. Doesn't mean we're not often what we would almost want to say plagued with the sensation and feeling of it, but we're not going to live in it. Any feedback? All right. I like that. But let me ask you a question. But let me ask you a question, Paul. But you're working through it, right? Okay. So let me make sure you understand something. The sign of the Spirit in you is that, a minimum, you're working on this stuff. Like, you're not justifying it. You're going, there's something important about us being able to say, I struggle deeply with this. Pray for me, as opposed to lashing out and justifying it. Rick. There you go. See, what y'all are both saying, what y'all are both saying is really in the church what we're looking for, in that we are imperfect people in the process of sanctification who are bringing things before the Lord in confession and dealing with it rather than justifying it. But from both of y'all's perspective just now, neither one of you are justifying it. You're wrestling with it. Right? Okay, anything else? Okay, you got the propitiation and the expiation. The expiation means sent away from. So important. Let me read a couple. I'm going to read three verses to you to basically say what you just said. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us. That's Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, you're never going to get to the end. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you've delivered my life from the pit of destruction. You cast all my sins behind your back. What's true of something that's behind your back? You can't see it. You can't look on it anymore. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sin. That's God. By the way, that's God preaching Christ. Because it's not until Christ makes the payment that we feel this. Last one I'll read. Jeremiah 31:34. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. They will all know me from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity. There's that propitiation. I will remember their sin no more. There's that expiation. They're both in the same verse. Jeremiah 31:34. The one before that is Isaiah 43:25. Isaiah 38:17. 38:17. And then Psalm 103:12, and it's unoffendable. And Russ. Yes. Yep. I think that is it, y'all. What you said kind of packs in there, because it's not truly believing that he really has forgiven me, right? Because we are repeat offenders. Every one of us in this room, you've come before God multiple times for the same thing. And it's not just one thing. It's a myriad of things. But maybe there's certain things that you come before God and you're going, and you want to say, Lord, this is like the, I feel like I've done this 1,000 times. Although that might be true, to truly understand forgiveness is to realize that all 1,000 were paid for on a hill outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And asking God, I believe it's a learning forgiveness is a process, because I feel often where you are. So you're not, what you're saying is familiar, I'm sure, to everybody in this room. Here I am again, Lord. And it's not realizing that, remember how this whole Lord's Prayer started, is we come in as his adopted children. That's why I'm encouraging us to, when you think of your redemption, first and foremost, think of yourself as one that's been adopted. I've been adopted into the family of God. I now belong to him. What's his is mine. What's mine is his. Christ my brother. God my father. Holy Spirit now the one who permanently indwells and finishes the work that God has started. I'm forgiven. The blood was shed. There's no double jeopardy with God. There's no repayment required. It is done. He paid for our sin. He paid for our shame. He paid for our guilt. There may be discipline for us, because the Lord disciplines those that he loves. There's no doubt about that. A good father disciplines his children. And I'll be honest with you. I've had a couple of times this year where it is just the light's gone on, and I've said, Lord, I think I'm under your discipline. And it was revealing and it was amazing. And I was like, okay, now I know what's going on. You are working through me in a way that is painful, but this is the only way to get me to the other side of this. You know, if you don't make a move on my behalf, I'll stay stuck. It's not a matter of unforgiveness. It's a matter of faithfulness at that point. But it is, you have to preach it to your heart 1,000 times. I'm forgiven.
We, along with that, we have Micah 7:19. That's where I know you said it, heard it, our sins are cast into the sea.
Yes.
It says in Micah 7:19, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea.
Let me add to that. For Micah 7:19, y'all know who Corrie ten Boom is, the hiding place? She took that verse and put it in of it and said, and then God put up a sign and said, no fishing allowed. Think about that. He cast your sin into the depth of the sea, and then he put up a sign and said, no fishing here. Don't mess with it. Just believe it, embrace it. celebrate it, and ask God to produce the same thing in you. The same thing in you, God. And remember this, when you continue to replay other people's offenses in your head, take it to the Father and say, Father, I haven't forgiven this person. Don't justify it. Strengthen me, fill me, empower me to apply what I know I am to do. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the desire to do it. I would rather not do it. Y'all, He is your Father. You can speak to Him in the terms of your heart because He's reading your heart anyway. Your words, if they're not reflecting your heart, He's looking at your heart. Okay? You can be authentic before the Father because He's willing and working for His good pleasure. He's the one that's bringing that up. But if you keep bringing up other people's offenses, here's what you need to know. The Lord's Prayer is saying, forgive them like I've forgiven you. He's not bringing up your offenses. Probably very releasing for your spirit, I would imagine. Think of the prodigal, and we'll kind of wrap it up. Think of how it was so difficult for anybody reading that story to think that that one who had blown it deserved grace. But that one who has blown it is you, right? You're the one that's received grace. I think it was John MacArthur that says at the end of the, he said if you were to take the story of the prodigal son and you would take it out to its ultimate fulfillment, you would have to say that the older brother and the Pharisees took the father out into a field and bludgeoned him to death because he was the representative of Christ. And the older brother was the representative of the Pharisees and the prodigal is a representative of the rest of us, right? Who have received great grace, but the Father paid the price for our offenses. So in order for us to learn to forgive, we need to learn to preach the gospel to our hearts over and over and over. We are His children, and we are being called here. And not just the debts, like John was talking about, but the trespasses. The people that have just gotten into your space, they've crossed the line. They've really gotten where they shouldn't have gotten. And I'll tell you the perfect place that it happens is it's happening all day long, every day in social media, right? People are just in each other's space. And I believe in social media, we've welcomed it, so you just need to get over it. You know, if you're gonna put it out there, just be willing to receive whatever you receive. Or you can just I may jump back into social media in January just so I'd like maybe need to be able to communicate to y'all via Facebook. But I got off of social media on July 4th, and it's just been like, that was my celebration on July 4th, was I'm shutting down social media. It's been amazing. I mean, it really has. It's how much it robs you of, but you become such a busybody and everything in social media. It's kind of, oh, I know, they know everything about me, and they keep trying to get me. I'm amazed how they do that. But anyway, so my exhortation to you is, number one, drink, if you've trusted Christ, drink that forgiveness in. Enjoy that forgiveness. Revel in that forgiveness. You can't get beyond the extent of that forgiveness because blood was shed for your salvation. But don't make the mistake of being the one who's forgiven of much but is holding grudges and is keeping score. Listen, admit that you're doing it. And get before the Lord, and I really believe that forgiveness is a 24/7 pray without ceasing part of the Christian life. It's not something that you're all of a sudden done with. Because as soon as you feel the weight is off in one relationship, the weight may come on in another. We live in a fallen world. And so don't just mindlessly pray, Lord, thank you, forgive, just like I, you know. Wrestle with it. And don't stop wrestling with it until your very, very, very last breath. Be gracious to other people. If there are people that you know you've offended, reach out to them. I know for me, the way I've done it in the past on multiple occasions is I do it with letters. And maybe now it'll be emails or even texts. There's different ways to do it. I started doing it years ago just with letters because I know that my nature is sometimes if I get in a one-on-one, the conversation could be rehashed again. And the other thing is this. When you make it right with another person, only make it right on your end. Don't chide them for what they did. Just set them free. If they want to respond with their own, they can. But it is not working towards forgiveness. It's, I wouldn't have done what I did if you wouldn't have done what you did. That's not going to work. And that's what it means. As far as it depends upon you, you lay it out in your own guilt and be willing to take on the whole offense. It's unconditional. It's completely unconditional. But don't put the little things as, but I really wish you wouldn't have said that or done that or thought that. Or don't do it. Y'all, this is, for some people, it's easier than others because there are people who have had such great offenses against them, they don't know what to do. And that's where the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit steps in. In and of yourself, you can't do this. But by the grace of God, you can lay it out there and you can work through it. And don't allow there to be anything attaching you to other people with bitterness, hostility. Just don't do it. And by the last thing I'll say, you can live in forgiveness with another person and not be in a relationship with that person. Okay? You don't have to be best friends with everybody. Now, if it's your wife, you can figure that one out. I can't go to Melissa, you know, but I have friends that I love, but I don't relate to anymore. It's just not healthy. And I've not been called to be friends with everybody. If there's nothing attaching me to them, when we see each other, we can shake hands and smile and move on. We just probably aren't going to be going out to dinner together because there's a lot of water under the bridge. That's okay. That's called, and in eternity, we'll probably start eating together again. You know, when everything has just been made new, it'll all be good once again. So I encourage you, enjoy your forgiveness and get right with other people. Father, thank you for this part of the Lord's Prayer. And thank you more than anything, Father, for what you sent your Son to do. And Jesus, we thank you that you did it. That you have done a work so great that our sin has been atoned for, paid for, and completely forgotten. It is so overwhelming for us to think about because we know that until we are with you and we are free from these bodies, we're not going to be able to get free from these emotions that often attach us to wrongs done to us. But we can forgive. Strengthen us to forgive and strengthen us to live at peace with other people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brad.